So it's such an honor this morning to introduce our speaker today. This girl is a gorgeous, beautiful, wise woman of God. She's a daughter of this house. And it's so incredible to see how when you yield yourself to God, he just brings out all this beauty from you. And you know, Cassie's someone I really look up to. She's such a high capacity woman of God, y'all. She is amazing. Every time I feel like I can't handle things, I look at her life and all that she's doing. And it's just incredible to see how much capacity, supernatural capacity, God has placed on the inside of her. So if y'all would welcome Cassie Fowler.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. That was like ridiculous introduction, Pastor Mercy. Gosh, it's so good to be with y'all this morning. And if y'all just first would help me welcome our online audience and just say welcome. We're glad y'all are tuning in. Make sure you stick around after the message for the chat lobby and get to know some girls and chat about the message. So, it is so good to be with a room full of ladies. You know, when Pastor Carrie asked me to speak, I first of all was blown away with the privilege and the opportunity that she would give that to me to increase my capacity. And you know, how blessed are we to be under her leadership? I mean, she and Pastor Stovall just lead this house with just such passion and grace. And she really has been such a mentor in my life and such a role model in so many ways. And I just feel like we're very blessed to be a part of sisterhood. It's really very unique. Not everybody gets this opportunity, and to feel empowered and encouraged and inspired on a weekly basis. I know she pours her time and effort into this. And so I'm just so thankful for that. And you know, when she asked me to speak, I thought, okay, I know I'm going to need to pray, I know I'm going to need to study, but I'm also going to need to buy a really cool pair of pumps, because Pastor Gary wears some cool pumps, doesn't she? They're like cool sizes and colors. It's like she's preaching and I'm just staring at her shoes, and I know y'all know what I'm talking about. And I mean, you know, I'm focused on the message, I'm taking it in, but did y'all see Lisa Young's shoes? Oh my gosh, those were some like wooden wedges. They were about this tall, which I was just like, you were rocking those. That was awesome. I definitely couldn't keep my eyes off those. So that's how I sold it to my husband. I was like, babe, I am going to be literally filling Pastor Carrie's shoes this week. I've got to go buy a pair of shoes. And so he was like, okay. So speaking to my husband, it's actually his birthday today. So happy birthday, babe. You're going to be, knowing I gave you a shout out when you listen to this as soon as it's up, because he's actually out of town. But I'm married to our worship leader, Dougie Fowler. He plays, he's a cute guy on the guitar on the weekends. And so we're married, and all the ladies are agreeing, yes, he's cute. So we have two sons, Caden and Logan. We didn't really need each other for that, because we kind of each cloned ourselves. So Caden is Dougie's clone, and Logan is my little clone. And so it's funny, God has a sense of humor, because I grew up with all women. And so I have two older sisters. We grew up in a house full of girls. And so you know how that is. If you have sisters, there was a lot of underwear sharing and stealing, I should say, you know, right when you're down to your last pair. You know, that sounds gross, but if you have sisters, you know what I'm talking about. And PMS and drama, I mean, there was all that. And now I live with all men. And so there's like wrestling and sports and farting and burping all the time. And I'm just like, how did this happen, you know? But it's awesome. Men are, you know, if you have sons, do you have sons in here? They're awesome. I love little men. They're just, I'm just so thankful to have them in my world. And so that's a little bit about my family. What I do here on staff is, I've been here on staff since 2005. I've worked with missions for several years, and for much of my life, I thought I was going to be a missionary and be the one to go. And so when God called me to Jacksonville, I realized that my calling was to help send people and to be the one to help people to go overseas. And so I've helped to send hundreds of people over the past few years just to either go short-term or long-term. And it's been a privilege. And so over the past year, I've been also working with local outreach. And that has been amazing. Some of you I've worked with closely in here as you've led outreaches. And it's just been cool because, you know, we are called to go into the world. That's the Great Commission mandate. But we're also called to our mission field here in Jacksonville. Amen. And that's our backyard. And we're called to really tell people about Jesus and show the love of Jesus here. And so, you know, when we took sisterhood to Sulzbacher Center back in the fall, the beauty of seeing what we have here and the value we place on women and bringing that into a place where women have just been abused and beat down and really told that they're worthless, you know, they were just in tears. We were painting their nails and giving them hand massages and sharing a message and worship, and even the staff who I don't believe are Christian, some of them were just in tears and were asking us to come back. So when we told them we wanted to come back this month or in April, They were just like, yes, we couldn't wait till y'all came back. We want y'all to come. They just, the decor, you know, the things we take for granted in this house is just like a miracle to see in a different location. They just ate it up. And so I just want to encourage y'all to get involved with that. And April 19th, I believe, is the date of that. And also, we're working on a stripper outreach. I'm working with some ladies in here on that. We're hoping to launch over the next few months. Yeah, Georgie. And, you know, just reaching women where they're at and showing them that they, God has a plan for them and that they're valued and we want to empower them. And so that's a little bit about what I do and here what I do at the church. Just wanted you to get to know me and not feel like I'm so random if you've never seen me. And you know, the other thing, I just was so happy when Pastor Carrie and Liz came and asked me to speak, I said, I really don't want to. Like, I, you know, for all the reasons why we don't want to, just get nervous. Like, am I going to communicate? Are they going to connect with me? Do I have to carry that burden of the message? Like, am I really walking in authority with what I'm going to be talking about? I don't want to be a hypocrite. So, you know, I had all these thoughts in my head. And Pastor Carrie and Liz were just like, you don't understand. These women are just so for you. Like, they're just going to cheer you on. They are a great audience to speak to. And I just thought, I love that our house is like that, that the daughters in this house are like that. We're not out in the world competing and comparing and amen, and tearing each other down, but we're building each other up. And what's your success is my success. And I want you to be the best, because when you're the best that God's called you to be, then we're that much better as the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. And as we get started, Father, I just thank you so much for this day, for all the women here, Lord. I know, God, that you're wanting to do something today, God. You're wanting to bring freedom. Lord, you're wanting to bring revelation. God, you're wanting to bring encouragement, Lord, to those who feel beaten down. God, I just pray that you would fill us up, Holy Spirit, Lord, so we can receive what you have to say this morning. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, Lord. And I just thank you that when we position ourselves, Lord, you're going to pour out in abundance. And we ask for that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been in a great series, you know, The House That Wisdom Built. And Liz laid the foundation with the fear of the Lord. We've talked about different pillars in this house. We've talked about humility and temperance and generosity. Pastor Carrie had a great message on that last week, talking about how we need to come into alignment with redemption and that God is a God of abundance. And so this week we're talking about our fifth pillar, which is diligence. So if you're following along in the workbook, let's go ahead and read the passage in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went past the field of someone who didn't want to work. I went past the vineyard of a man who didn't have any sense. Thorns had grown up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall had fallen down. I applied my heart to what I observed. I learned a lesson from what I saw. You might sleep a little or take a little nap. You might even fold your hands and rest. Then you would be poor, as if someone had robbed you. You would have little, as if someone had stolen from you. Well, I'm encouraged. How about y'all? All right, have a good day. I think that's where we'll leave it. You know, I read that and I was like, oh gosh, you know, I shouldn't have taken that nap last week when I needed to lay mulch in my yard. I needed to do laundry and go cleaning. Like, I'm going to be poor now. You know, when you can read stuff, is anybody else hard on yourself like that? I think we as women tend to do that. And, you know, this isn't in the Word of God because God didn't want to make us feel bad or guilty, but he really did want to highlight the result of a life lived in laziness. You know, when a life is lived in laziness, that's what it'll look like. It'll look torn down. It'll look overgrown and unkept. But when we apply diligence to our lives, we really build our house with wisdom. You know, diligence is a close relative of stewardship, actually. And Pastor Mercy did an awesome job speaking about this a couple weeks ago. And it's really the concept that we own nothing, that God is the owner. And we are really here as his stewards. And when you understand that role that we're to play, then you will apply that much more diligence in your life. You know, this has kind of come alive for Dougie and I as we've had this huge blessing in our life over the past few months. We're actually house sitting right now for a family here that is of our church that many of you know, the Kibbe family. And actually, Mindy has just been an awesome part of sisterhood. She's helped to really launch Celebration Zimbabwe and help the ladies there. She helped to get our meal drive at Eugene Butler set up and running, and now we handed that over to Corinne to help. But, you know, if y'all wouldn't mind, maybe give her a shout-out right now because she's going to be watching online. Mindy, we love you. We miss you. She's going to be tuning in because she's in Singapore, and she said that the series has been amazing for her. But when they left, they needed someone to house it. And so that's a huge God testimony in itself that I'll save for another day. But We're house sitting. They really haven't asked that much of us, but you know, I find myself really in this situation where I want so badly to do a good job. I want to take care of their home for them. And we, you know, when we moved in, we painted, and I'm always thinking about projects that we can do to make the house look better. So when they come home, they're blessed and they really enjoy their home. And if the yard's starting to look a little unkept, I'm like, I'm on top of it. I mean, we're just like, we've got to get to this. And I thought about it, and I felt like God was giving me really some revelation about it, because, you know, if my name was on the mortgage, I don't know that I would apply that much diligence with it. I mean, I do care about my name and I do care about my house, but if I'm the owner, I'd probably have a little talk with myself, like, I'm sure I'm tired today. And then I'd probably be like, that's okay, go ahead and take a nap. You know, you don't, we can get to that later. And I wouldn't really treat it, I don't think, with the severity that I do when I know that I am stewarding this for someone else. And so, you know, I also think about the neighbors too. Like, say our trash cans are out in the yard, I'm just like, I don't want to make a bad name for them. Like, I want them to keep a good name in their neighborhood. I want their yard to look good. And so I'm constantly in this situation where I'm thinking, you know what, I don't own this home. And how much more would I live my life in every area if I had that same viewpoint? I don't own my checking account. My name might be on it, but I don't really own all my money. Or, you know, my kids, they're mine. They came out of me, but I don't really own them. They are God's. My husband, he is God's. How much more would I apply diligence to all those areas of my life if I really understood I am not the owner, I am the steward. And when he returns, I want to be called a good and faithful servant. When they come back home, I want them to be like, we are so glad we chose Dougie and Cassie to house it for us, because they did an awesome job. It would break my heart to know that they regretted that decision. And so I felt like, you know what, I've got to take this to another level in my life in every area. It's not just about my home. It's about the people in my world. It's about my job. It's about my kids. So diligence is a close relative of stewardship, but also your next fill in the blank is that it's portrayed as the opposite of laziness in the book of Proverbs. You know, we could decide right now, they're in a different country. We can just kind of kick back, take it easy. We don't need to really worry about some things. We could do that. But you know, who would that benefit? That wouldn't benefit them. It wouldn't benefit us. You know, so often we don't realize it, but our laziness causes us to miss out on opportunities. God's wanting to give us opportunities. He's wanting to bless us. And sometimes we're not applying that diligence to position ourselves for that opportunity. And it, you know, in that passage we read, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, that's even worse almost than being poor, is that it would be as if someone had robbed you. You'd be left as if you were robbed. And what a terrible way to live. We're not called to live as people who've been robbed. We're called to live with people in abundance. Our God is an abundant God, like Pastor Kerry preached about. So, you know, I'd like to take a look, and I'm going to kind of skip around. I hope that's okay, just a little bit, on page 40. I want to take a look a little bit further at the difference between diligence and laziness. And, you know, sometimes if you look at what something is not, you learn more about what it is. I do this with my son, Caden, because he's two and a half, almost three at this point. And, you know, he loves talking about opposites. And so when I give him a bath, I'm like, the opposite of short is, and he's like, tall. Like, the opposite of stop is, he's like, go. And so I think it's a fun little exercise. Sometimes it helps you understand more about, he calls it applesauce. He thinks that that's what the word is, like opposite. But he understands the concept. But let's do applesauce, mommy. So words that are associated with diligence in the word of God, wealth, plenty, someone who's fully satisfied, someone who's able to give, these are words that are associated with diligence. But on the flip side, if we're talking about laziness in the word of God, these are the words that are associated: poverty, lack, someone who's always craving, a cavern of constant need. Yikes. Attitudes of lazy, or you could also call them slackers. It's a little bit stronger of a term. Who wants to be a slacker? I mean, ugh. A lazy person stops short of completing the task. A lazy person stops short of achieving his objective. He stops short of achieving his objective. You know, when you stop short of your goal, a lot of times we make goals pretty easy, especially in the beginning of the year. You know, we'll make a New Year's resolution and we have this passion for this goal and we're really excited about it. But then life happens and things happen. And so the work required to get to that goal, a lot of times the desire to not have to do that hard work supersedes the passion to reach that goal. And so you end up in a reversed order. You know, you might be a single in here. Maybe you're in a relationship and you're struggling for purity and you want to remain pure in your relationship. And so that's your goal, is purity. But the hard work it takes to maintain and your boundaries and to work hard at staying pure, a lot of times we give up and we don't keep that. That gets too big and then we lose our passion. And that supersedes that. And so we've got to get to a point where our objective and our goal remains so strong and so clear and we remain passionate that we're willing to do the hard work it takes to reach it. And we don't stop short of achieving it. Maybe you're a student, or maybe you're a mommy, or maybe you're a wife or a professional, and you have goals in your job or your studies or your kids and with your husband. Keep those alive. Keep those goals and those passions alive so that when the rubber hits the road, you're not losing the passion because it feels too hard. You can do it. Another attitude of a slacker is that he expects to reap where he hasn't sown. You know, that's really an attitude of entitlement. He expects to reap where he hasn't sown. It's the opposite of humility. Pastor Carey had a really great message on humility. And, you know, you can't, if you're not going to put the work in, you can't expect, it's that easy. You can't expect to sow you can expect to reap where you have not sown. He also attracts want and not abundance throughout his life. You know, that generous spirit that we're called to have, to be aligned with redemption, we need to know the character of our Father is that he is a God of abundance. You know, kind of like when I was reading this, I was thinking about, you might be a slacker if any of these resonate with you, kind of in that Jeff Foxworthy accent, you might be a slacker if any of these resonate with you. Any of you feel like, you know what, I've done that. And sometimes we just have to call it what it is. Sometimes we can make excuses and we can excuse ourselves from things because we don't really realize, you know what, that was really, I'm being a slacker in that area. I'm being lazy. And I know lately I have felt, when I had my second child, I felt like I started making a lot of excuses because I was just sleep deprived. And I was like, I'm tired. I can't wake up any earlier. I can't wake up any earlier to read my Bible or work out. And, you know, I thought about it, like, we can make excuses in every season of life. You know, maybe when my kids are grown and they're teenagers, maybe they'll be keeping me up late at night. Or maybe after that, I'll be taking care of an aging parent. Or after that, you know, there's always something in life. And we can't let those excuses keep us from what God's calling us to do. And we're not called to be women who are slackers. You know, that's not in our DNA, I don't even think, in women. So what is diligence? Let's take a look. You can turn back to page 39. We talked about what laziness is. Let's really look at what diligence is. Diligence is constant in effort to accomplish something. Diligence keeps going until the job is done. Here are some words, and these are your fill-in-the-blanks, associated with diligence. Attentiveness, persistence, perseverance, and consistency. You know, these words, attentiveness, persistence, perseverance, and consistency, they're easy to say, they're a lot harder to apply. But we have got to apply them if we want to build our house of wisdom. You know, a lot of times we love the verse Proverbs 3, where it talks about God orders our steps. And a lot of times, are y'all still in those blanks? I'm sorry, I went too fast. Attentiveness, persistence, perseverance, and consistency. We good? I'm a natural fast talker, so I'm trying. I hope I'm not talking too fast. I'm trying to slow it down, especially when we're trying to keep up with fill in the blanks. But, you know, a lot of times, the verse in Proverbs 3, where it says that God will order our steps, a lot of times, you know, we can actually use an excuse that I'm waiting on God for something. You know, you might be waiting on God for an answer or direction or whatever, but you know, in that verse, it says he orders our steps. And so to step is actually implies action, that when we're stepping, he will order our steps and he will really make a way and he will make our path straight. But sometimes it takes action on our part where we can't just sit back and trust that God's going to bring something our way. Sometimes he's waiting for us. Get stepping, get moving. He's going to show up. He's going to make a way. Diligence is what sets apart the good from the great. Diligence is what sets apart the good from the great. You know, a few weeks ago, Jacksonville hosted the Gate River Run. Do I have any Gate River runners in here? All right. You go, girls. So, you know, 17,000 people participate in this run. It's actually the largest 15K in the United States. I was reading the website. I was like, wow, this is like really cool. I didn't realize all these stats. You know, it also said 1% of the population can say that they have participated in a marathon. I thought, oh, yikes, that's really low. Like, we need to bump that up. We need to do it. I know one day I will run a marathon. I don't know when, but one day. You know, but one of the areas I have lost diligence in, and for me, exercising has always been a priority. And it's not just about appearance, but it's really about how I feel. It's about health and how it makes me feel so much better emotionally and mentally and physically. And so when I had my second child, he was big and he liked to eat. And so I thought I was going to get a break with a big child. I was like, oh, he's going to hold off longer, you know. But he wanted to eat every 3 hours. He wanted to nurse every 3 hours. And I was like, okay, this is not going to work for too long. And it added with an increase of responsibility at work. So for the first 10 months, I was just waking up several times a night, and I was just like a walking zombie almost at work. I just felt tired a lot. And I just was like, the thought of waking up early or working out after they went to sleep just was like, I'd rather solve world peace. Like, I can't do this. The thought of, like, there should be a clause in the Proverbs 31 chapter where it talks about mothers not having to get up earlier than your kids because we're so tired. And so I just was like, I can't do this. So anyway, finally, about 10 months, he started sleeping through the night. And after a few nights of crying, but that's okay. It worked. And I just couldn't do it anymore. And so at 10 months, he started sleeping through the night, and it took me a couple months to recover because I just felt so sleep deprived. So after a couple months, I was really feeling convicted. Like, I've really got to start working out again. And I know I need to for my health and my sanity. And I need to. And so thank God a friend texted me and said, do you want to start working out together? Let's hold each other accountable. And so that really is what has held me accountable. So we started working out about 3 times a week. And on the Saturday, a few Saturdays ago, when the Gate River Run was here, I went and worked out, and then I turned it on the TV. And I was watching, and I just thought, gosh, I love like the feel of a race. Everybody's just the anticipation on their faces and the relief and the reward that they have on their face when they're done. It's just so cool. And I just was thinking about it. And then I read, you know, Mohammed Trafa, I don't know how to say his last name. He actually won the race. And he is 26. He's originally from Morocco. And he did it in 43 minutes and 22 seconds. And so it's like a 4-minute, 39-second mile. And I was like, wow. Okay, so then I realized, you know what? I just worked out for about the same amount of time. Like, I went and did like my elliptical for 30 minutes and probably some free weights after that. And then he ran 43 minutes. And I was like, okay, what sets us apart? What is so different? Obviously, he went a lot further, a lot faster than I did. And he probably won like $12,000 too for doing it. But he went a lot further, a lot faster. And, you know, the main thing that sets us apart is the diligence that he applies in order to train, in order to be able to do that. Because I was feeling good about my 2 to 3 times a week working out. And then over here, you've got somebody who's great, who's running something, who's like got a goal over here, who's like, I am running this and this is my goal. And I just realized I've got to apply diligence in this area, not just working out, but in every area. If I want to go from good to great, it's going to take diligence. It's going to take effort. It's going to take a commitment. And like these words, I'm going to have to be persistent, and I'm going to have to persevere and be consistent and know that I just can't wait for God to show up and do something. I have to be stepping. Your next fill in the blank, diligence is a matter of activating our will to not only achieve health, but also multiplication, legacy, and wisdom. It's health, multiplication, legacy, and wisdom. We have to activate our will to achieve these things. You know, sometimes we think it might be handed on a silver platter to someone else. We might think they have it easier. You know, that they don't have this going against them like I do. Health, multiplication, legacy, and wisdom. Just want to repeat it again because I know I hear whispering. You know, but the truth is when we apply our natural to God's supernatural, then he will provide an abundance. But we have to apply our natural and so that he can come through on his supernatural. You know, every woman has been given a different portion, a different story. We all have a different story in this room, but that can't stop us. That can't be an excuse for not moving forward with in diligence to what God's called us to. Because when we, I'm telling you, and you see this in the Bible, there's examples of this all throughout the Bible. You know, the boy who brought his bagged lunch to Jesus, who brought the loaves and the fish. And then Jesus applied his supernatural and was able to provide food for everyone. You know, we see that time and time again in the Word where someone might do something seem so small, and it may feel just like, what, this is nothing. But then you give it to God and he applies the supernatural to it, and he makes something so much more and so much better of it than we could ever do. In your last fill in blank, you can turn the page. Waning in diligence is the most common obstacle we face in building the house we desire and envision. Building the house we desire and envision. So how can I be more diligent? I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about some tips and practical things. Diligence is about the long haul and not the short term. You know, we can't look at the things of the day and think that they're insignificant. You know, your daily devotional, maybe you're squeezing in 15 minutes a day, but you know what? In the long haul, that's going to mean something. You know, you have to look at, this is a marathon. Life is a marathon. It's not a race. And so when you apply that daily devotional, when you work out, you know, a few times a week or whatever you're doing for your health, those things are going to pay off in the long haul. And you have to keep that in mind. You can't get discouraged in the moment because you feel like it's insignificant or not enough. Know that your diligence and the small things that you're doing to remain diligent are going to pay off in the long run. When we neglect diligence, we are choosing decay by default. This is a really strong statement right here. When we neglect diligence, we are choosing decay by default. Proverbs 18:9 says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." You see, when we neglect diligence, that's kind of a passive thing. It's kind of like, you know, you're not necessarily sinning or doing something wrong. You're just neglecting something. You're neglecting diligence. But what happens is a very active problem is you're actually causing decay. That could be physical. It could be spiritual. You know, it could be decay in your life and actually destruction. And you know, one thing that I felt like God really just kept putting on my heart for this part was Hebrews 11:6. And that says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, when I thought about diligence in our spiritual lives, because our spiritual lives can look just like the land that we read at our first passage, the field that the wise man walked by and he saw thorns, and he saw weeds. He saw, it looked like someone had been robbed. Our spiritual lives can look like that when we don't apply diligence to them. You know, it could look different. It'll look like maybe unforgiveness or bitterness or offense or anger. You know, it can look like those types of things and it can manifest, but it's really decay. And so what happens is we have to be so sold out to this verse that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that we continue to diligently seek him. You know, when I was in college, I had gotten really fired up for the Lord before I went to college, and my parents had been separated for 9 years at that time. And my sister and I, some of you know my sister, Taryn Stein, she and her husband moved to D.C. to play at D.C. Metro Church, but they were here in Jacksonville for a few years, and we were really close. And she called me, and I think she initiated and said, "Cassie, I really feel like we need to just believe God, that God is going to redeem our parents' marriage." And so we decided we were going to fast one day a week and we were going to pray together over the phone. We lived in different cities at the time. And you know, we had been through different phases. I mean, 9 years is a long time to be separated. And we had been through different phases, really believing God for their marriage and getting discouraged and believing God and getting discouraged. And so we just really rose up in faith during this time. And we were like, let's do it. And so, you know, while all the other college students were in the cafeteria eating, I went into our chapel and I would just seek God and pray. And I would call my sister over the phone, and we just believed God that he was going to restore our parents' marriage. And we did that for a season, and then a couple years later, they filed for divorce. And this has really been a difficult thing in my life, because when you believe God for something with everything in you and you don't see it come to pass, it can be really discouraging, and it can overflow into other areas where you need to be believing God, but you're scared to because he hasn't come through in something else. And so So I felt like I was reading this verse, and I felt like God just brought me such freedom in this, because I realized, you know what? I am not held accountable to the outcome of my prayers, but I am held accountable for diligently seeking him. And not 1 minute and not 1 second of that time of me seeking him was wasted. Not 1 second. And I just want to encourage you today that if you're seeking God on something, or maybe you've given up, that not 1 second will be wasted, because when you diligently seek him, he will reward you. That is in the word. It says he will reward. And it may look different. It may not be the outcome you're expecting, but he will reward you with more of himself. He will reward, he will teach you more about yourself. He will answer prayers in ways that you didn't expect that will be better. He will do things, and he will answer that prayer. Maybe not in this life, maybe in the life to come, you will see the answer. But we can't give up on diligently seeking the Lord. We have to know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So I want to wrap it up here with our last fill in the blanks. Wisdom applied with diligence can overcome many obstacles. You know, we have to keep that in mind, that God promises to give us wisdom when we ask for it. And when we apply diligence, we can overcome obstacles in our way. Wisdom and diligence are a powerful pair. And the key to diligence is celebrating the small victories and enjoying the journey. We have to celebrate the small victories. We have to celebrate the 1 pound out of the 50 pounds that we're trying to lose. We have to celebrate, you know, when that coworker says they'll come to church after you've been inviting them for 2 years and they finally are coming to church. Celebrate that. Enjoy the journey. Life's a journey. It's not a destination. We can't just wait to arrive somewhere. And diligence, you know, the word and the idea, sometimes it can be overwhelming. Like, how can I do this? But we have to enjoy it in the process and know that God wants us to enjoy it. It's not going to be a burden we have to carry. It's going to bring freedom. It's going to bring breakthrough. It's going to bring a better life, a life that is not defined as a slacker or someone who looks like they've been robbed, but it's going to be a life that's defined with abundance and wisdom. And we have to apply diligence to build our house of wisdom. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's the end of my message for today. I hope y'all got something out of it. If you've never been here, we're going to break up and we're going to have table time. But if y'all just would bow your heads and let's pray, and we'll go from there. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done here today. Lord, I thank you for every woman in this room, God. Lord, I just lift up the women that are feeling defeated, God, that feel maybe they've given up, they've been discouraged in an area of their life, Lord. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to them and speak to them. Lord, I pray that they would be healed, Lord. I pray where they feel discouraged that you would encourage them, Lord. God, help us to be women that diligently seek you. God, that don't give up, Lord, that apply diligence and apply the practical things that we can do, Lord, to see in our natural, Lord, to see your supernatural come through, Lord. We want to live supernatural lives, God. And Lord, we knew that we can do that. We know we can do that in your power, Lord, and not ours. And so I pray for every woman here, Lord, in their sphere of life and their sphere of influence, God, that they would be women of influence. They would be women of diligence, Lord. Give them the grace that they need, Lord. And God, we just pray that you continue to speak to us, Lord, as we break up and talk in our tables, Lord. Just continue to solidify, Lord, what you've started in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.